Hello, welcome to episode 5 of Women of the Future. This particular episode is entitled Taking Care of Yourself, Then Extending That Care to Others. The series is dedicated to women all across the globe who are interested in ameliorating the quality of their lives. And we are particularly interested in dynamic, successful individuals who wish to make something more of their lives and embrace whatever life challenges are sent to them. Sister Denise, very warm welcome. Great to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is a very deep feminine trait to look after others and put others first before yourself. And this is not something that a progressive woman does, is it?
Not necessarily. What I would say is there are natural tendencies and inclinations in women. So naturally you care for others. But the society that we live in has taken that and tweaked it so that you go beyond what is right. And what is right is a fine balance between certain extremes. You take something that's right and then you push it beyond that balance, it actually becomes wrong. So what I feel has happened is the predominantly patriarchal society we live in has said to women and girls, if you don't put others before you, if you don't become a bit self-effacing, you know, if you take care of your own needs, there's something wrong with you. And so they make a person feel guilty for doing the right thing. They replace that natural sense of doing the right thing with some other thing which is totally wrong, and this creates moral confusion in the spirit, and it defunctionalizes the conscience. And that is something that women of the future will not be subjected to, but women of the past and the present definitely have to deal with.
Why is it that even when women are introduced to this idea, there's still so much of resistance?
Well, I feel it's because of the socialization that's been going on since the earliest years of a girl's life, you see, because in the very early years, you set the sanskaras for that life. And when you set the sanskaras in a way that are in opposition to the voice of conscience, and then the girl is disempowered, seriously disempowered. So it's a form of abuse, but is absolutely unrecognized. And I would like very much to draw attention to this so that we begin to introduce the idea of not doing that.
Okay, Sister Denise, the first part of today's topic is taking care of the self first. Now, I've heard you in the past, and you define self in a very different way from what most viewers, most of the ladies watching us, define the self. Now, one way of doing it is to look after the obvious, which is the body. And as you know, globally, women pay a lot of attention to their external attributes. What do you mean by the self, and what is your definition of taking care of the self?
Let's begin with the body, because the body is part of the whole package. And when you take care of yourself physically, taking care of your health, having enough sleep, being in your dignity, enjoying being respected according to your position in society and so on, that's a very positive form of taking care of the self. But this also has been shifted away from what's right, taking care of yourself physically, to you should eat after everybody else has eaten. You should sleep after everybody else is asleep. You should wake up before anybody else is awake. Thus, actually making a woman feel bad about listening to the voice of the body, which says, I need this much sleep, I need this much food, just to function. And so the message that a woman will get on the physical level is your needs are desires. And that is a lie, and it really causes confusion in the woman. Now, it's also told to the woman, you have to be physically attractive even like, for example, women who wear high heel shoes, right? The osteopaths are delighted with that because they get a lot of clients because it destroys a person's spine. If you're told you only look nice when you're in high-heeled shoes, you will do that. You will destroy your back. You will destroy your skeleton because of the demands of those who call that attractive. And that is not taking care of the self, but it is presented as taking care of the self, you see? In terms of other aspects, you have to maybe do a lot of work at home, then you have to go out to functions, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and the other, and the other. So a woman is put under stress more than necessary because it destabilizes her from the natural inner intuitive voice. And so to me, taking care of the self on the physical level includes all of these things, but it's not very easy because she will have to say no to a lot of these messages.
Can I interrupt you there? I have, within my experiences of meeting women from various cultures, noticed that very few women know how to say no. And more importantly, when they do have the courage to say no, they start to feel guilty about it immediately, and you get that message reinforced from people around them. When does a person know when to say no?
Well, again, I would say it goes back to this very early social conditioning where a girl is taught that your job, your duty, your identity is to say yes. And if you say no, that makes you a bad person, you see. And so the girl's ability to say no is undermined and sabotaged very, very early on. Now, some girls will act out, and then they'll be made even more naughty than they would otherwise be. Some girls totally suppressed, and then they develop actually illnesses because of that, or depression or something like this. Some girls, they just switch off and become like robots, you know. But all of this is causing a lot of difficulties among women in very, very subtle ways, so that knowing when to say no naturally and intuitively is gone because of these conditioning, these messages which say you have to be obedient, you have to be compliant. Anything any senior person says is by definition right. And your voice of conscience will on occasion say, well, actually, no, it's not right. That will be stomped on. And so it means the girl in a certain way is put almost in a schizophrenic situation. And there are some women who will preserve their integrity on the inner dimension and perform according to requirements externally, but they become so fake. And this bifurcation of the spirit actually weakens a woman and makes her vulnerable. And this is why one of the things you have a lot in the world today is a kind of predatory situation, and it inclines the women towards getting into being victims. And it's very complex, it's very subtle, but I think it's very important to raise the subject so that people start thinking about it and trying to observe in their own lives, to what extent am I caught up in this?
Mr. So Denise, one has to just read current day articles when I'm referring specifically to first world countries where you hear women who hold very high-powered positions still complaining that they earn less than their male counterparts, which is quite shocking. My question is that even though women are successful in various spheres, whether corporate or even successful as a housewife, the treatment in many countries is that you're not as important as the male in your family or in your work environment. If females continually get that message, how then do you take care of the self and nurture the self and still maintain your dignity despite being treated that way?
Part of the usefulness of this program is it's a message to women that is a different message from what they normally get. Because, you know, once a person receives a message that says you're valuable, you're beautiful, you're important, you have an important place, and you need to spend time thinking about that, and then coming into your power, coming into performing in a good way, a right way, that is probably very, very important. But of course, this is one message counterbalancing a million messages, but it's something at least, you know. Otherwise, you see, all people are totally influenced by what they see and what they hear. Sense perception. Now, spirituality, once we start to say, okay, I want to develop myself spiritually, my inner self, then you start to make contact with messages from the inside, messages from your conscience, messages from your intuition, and where there is a disparity between what your inner message says and what your outer message says, then the immediate past group of women revolted against it. And when women revolt against a patriarchal world, it sort of backfires. And so now we have to look at, okay, revolting against it is not the way. What is the way?
Okay, what is your answer to that? What is the way? That's a very good question, Sister Denise. What is the way? So what you're saying is fighting against the establishment is not the answer.
Not just fighting against the established, but fighting against what is wrong. You see, conventional morality says if something is wrong, you challenge it, you fight against it, you make it right. But in fact, it doesn't seem to do that. So I think we have to, I mean, I can give my opinions about what some ways might be. But what I'm trying to do by asking that question is to say to women, think about it. Talk about it. What is another way or another set of ways to address the situation where you are using your femininity, your subtle powers, and that you're not trying to operate in a masculine way, in a masculine world, in such a way that it doesn't work. You have to operate in a feminine way. But it doesn't mean that you do feminine wiles and manipulation, and is not the way either. It has to be something pure, something genuine, something authentic, something real, so that you actually find your place and occupy your place. But that also has to be defined. What is my place?
Can we now go to the second part of today's topic, which is taking care of others? Like you, I've seen thousands of women taking care of others with a lot of sincerity, but I've seen this so often, taking care of others at the expense of yourself, where you compromise sleep, you compromise your own health, you compromise various aspects of yourself, which then causes the woman to become a dysfunctional human being. I mean, neither you or I are advocating not caring for others. That's not the point of today's topic. But how do you know what is caring enough, and how do you know what is caring too much?
You know, what I'm feeling is you're really introducing the idea of enabling. And caring is one end of the spectrum, the positive end. Enabling, negative end.
You want to define enabling for the viewer?
Starting with caring is where you give due cooperation, support, sustenance, and so on. And enabling is where you make it possible for another person to continue with their negative behavior by supporting it and calling that caring.
Sure, that is that's very heavy, Sister Denise. It seems that you're the person doing that, doing the enabling, is creating a burden for themselves and the recipient.
Definitely. And it also puts the woman into a very dysfunctional situation. Very. So, the first thing that I think is a key signal is the message that women receive from the world. You are responsible for so-and-so's happiness. Now, if you take that on board and you believe that you're responsible for their happiness, they will never be happy because they make you dance around and manipulate you because of this wrong belief. You see, a person is responsible for their own happiness, not somebody else's happiness.
Yes, that would be very difficult for our ladies at home to absorb, digest, because it does this in terms of what they've been taught.
Well, that's right. So, for example, in a marriage, you know, the girl is taught, you know, you're responsible for your husband's happiness. And if your husband is not happy with the cooking, that makes you a bad person, you know. But he may be just playing games, you know. Or if your little child, especially your son, is making a big temper tantrum and you just give in to whatever he wants, that means you're failing in your duty as a parent to provide structure and rules and consistency, you see. So many women are taught, you must do whatever he, whether it's a son or a father-in-law or a husband, whatever he wants, because if you don't, he will be unhappy, and that makes you a bad person, because you have to fulfill their wishes, whether they are positive or negative or whatever, you see. And now, what the woman of the future will see is, what is the correct behavior in a relationship, you see. So a mother will provide consistency and structure for all of her children, male or female. And if her little boy wants to throw a temper tantrum, it's not going to deter her from doing that, because then he will be raised properly, you see, and he will become a responsible citizen. If her daughter is being ill-treated by other members of the family, she has to support her daughter. Otherwise, her daughter will be victimized for the rest of her life. That means, in order for a woman to do the right thing for the benefit of her family and, by extension, the society, she will have to go up against social attitudes which actually have it wrong, you see. And this is a very difficult thing to do, but I feel that this is the time when things have reached such a point of dysfunctionality that it's a very good time to introduce these right ways of doing things and ask everybody to think about this. You know, when it's slightly bad, people say it doesn't matter. But when it's very bad, they say, yeah, it does matter. We're at that point.
So we actually wait for problems to hit. When it becomes a huge problem, then we realize it's time to fix it.
You know, there is a very interesting statement in the Indian scripture called the Mahabharata, which means the Great World War. And in that, you have Krishna telling the gurus of the Kauravas that you must not interfere with what's happening, because in order for the right thing to take place, wrong has to reach its absolute limit. And that is such a different idea, but I think that it is relevant, you know, because I feel that we're at such a time where things are really reaching that limit where the pendulum starts to go the other way, you know.
It's very difficult, and for some ladies watching you right now, Sister Denise, impossible to do nothing, because I think part and parcel of the feminine mindset is we come with a inbuilt toolbox to fix things, to fix people, to heal, to nurture, to put right that which is wrong. So to watch something go wrong, like watching an adult child detox from an addiction, is a very difficult thing to do, because there's nothing that you can do to help the child.
Well, that's not really true. Letting the child really experience the pain of the wrong thing that they're doing is the most helpful thing that you can do.
Sister Denise, that's my point precisely. Many women do not see it that way. We want to stop other people's pain. Many women feel that that's their responsibility to others, their entire circle.
This is the operative word, isn't it? Feel.
Yeah.
You're just operating on feelings.
And that's wrong because?
Because you're sensitive. Women are sensitive. So anything that doesn't feel right, you want to stop it, because you're not operating on the basis of wisdom, you're operating on the basis of sense perception, which translates itself into feeling, oh, I can't allow this to happen because it doesn't feel right. So the logic of a woman's thinking, who is totally in her feelings, will sabotage her wisdom.
I liked what you just said. How does one get to the point of being in your natural sense of wisdom all the time when you're continually experiencing and receiving messages internally and externally as to, I should do this to help this person in this situation? How does a woman emerge her natural sense of wisdom? How do you do that?
She doesn't have a natural sense of wisdom.
Not. Okay. So what, you can't go buy it from somewhere?
You have to learn it.
Okay, you have to learn it.
Yes. Wisdom is not something that you're born with. Wisdom is acquired through life experiences, through study, through deep discussion, through many things. You don't get born with wisdom. It's not an innate characteristic.
So it is your wisdom that protects you, that you should be seeking?
Well, no, I think... You see, again, looking at the contrast of women of the past, women of the future, maybe women of the past have been taught you get born with wisdom, you have a natural wisdom. That's not true. You have your conscience, you have your sensitivity, you have your inherent weaknesses. You can't call that wisdom. These are your challenges. And as you address them, according to the different life situations that arise, slowly you acquire some wisdom. Hopefully you acquire some wisdom. But I think that wisdom comes with study, with teachings, with the experience of those who have wisdom. So traditionally, elders are considered to be wise. But in fact, it doesn't mean that all the older people are wise, but a few are, who have been working on themselves through their whole lives, who have really studied it their whole lives. They may become wise, but an elder person is not necessarily wise. But I think one of the messages that people receive is, you're a young girl, you listen to your mother-in-law because she's older, therefore she knows better. She may or she may not. You have to have the power of discrimination to see if you're being manipulated, if you're being abused, if you're being, you know, improperly advised, because the world today doesn't have too much wisdom in it. And if all the older people were wise, then the world would have a lot of wisdom in it, because there's a lot of old people. So how do we become wise? I think this is, again, purpose of a program like this is to really sit with the self and discuss with each other what is the right way, what is the wise way, what is wisdom, and then we can get some wisdom.
Okay, thank you, Sister Denise. That brings us to the end of today's half an hour slot, how to take care of yourself first and then extend that care to others. Sister Denise has shared her insight and wisdom. That is the note that she ended her last statement on. And today's episode has been particularly interesting because a lot of women fall into the category of caring too much for others, and Sister Denise has shared what it means to care enough and too much, and also guilty of not looking after the self adequately. And she defined the self as looking after the self physically, the external as well as the internal. So it was a very deep and powerful message that was shared today, and I do hope that you understand the depths of what Sister Denise was sharing. And this series will require you to revisit the attitudes and opinions that you have about your own ideas about yourself and life. And if you're feeling a slight amount of discomfort after hearing what was shared here today, you're not alone, because the point of this program and this entire series is for you to rethink your life. So thank you for joining us for this half an hour, and I do hope to see you again soon. Thank you and goodbye.